Psalm 150 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for surpassing greatness. Praise him for the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clashing of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you for this morning. And Lord, I pray that you will certainly work in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, I pray that as we experience just a bit of what happened on the first Palm Sunday, Lord, I pray that you'll help us also to be excited about the King that is living in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles or iPods or iPhones or whatever I are using today to keep track of the sermon, I'm getting used to trying to get used to technology, and I understand that some of you don't carry a Bible anymore in this form. We'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. You can follow along on whatever version you like. Matthew 21, we're going to be reading and talking about verses 1 through 11. "When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them," and immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet: 'Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds gathered ahead of him, and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
Okay, let me get this out of the way. I didn't steal that donkey, okay? I borrowed it. And it wasn't even my idea. Jesus told me to take it, to borrow it, right? Okay, this is how it happened. Earlier today, there was a large group of us, and we were traveling from Bethany to Jerusalem. We stopped just outside the city, and Jesus looked at two of us, and he said there was an unridden donkey just inside the village and asked us to go get it. He said if anybody, you know, asked us about it, we could just look at him and say, "The Lord needs it, and he'll send it back." So the two of us beat it into town, and the whole time we were like, what is Jesus going to do with a donkey, right? But by this point, we realized you don't second-guess Jesus, right? He hadn't told us why, and we didn't ask. We just got him a donkey. And when we got back, that's when it happened. Some people put their coats on the donkey, and Jesus got on the donkey, and when he got on the donkey... I don't know. It's like everyone started shouting and dancing and singing, and some people were throwing their coats in front of the donkey. There was some of us that grabbed some palm branches and we started waving them in the air. And that's when it clicked. Jesus had finally arrived. I know that sounds weird. It's like this. In the past, we would get excited because Jesus would do something, a miracle, or there would be some parable or something he said. We'd get excited about it. And Jesus would always be like, shh, come on, guys. No, nope. Just be quiet, you know? And then we'd come up with some idea. Hey, let's do this or let's do that. And Jesus would be like, no, guys, not now. Not now. But today? Today was now. Today, he finally let us shout and sing and dance and treat him like the Messiah that we'd all been waiting for. He finally showed up. I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds. It feels like it's something big, but who knows, you know? But it doesn't matter what happens. Because Jesus showed up. And there's nothing better than when Jesus shows up.
Let's pray. Lord, I pray that as we go through this text, that you will speak to each one here. Pray that you'll show up in our lives. Amen. We're going to work through this text, but we're going to bring in the other three Gospels. And so we're going to talk about the whole story with the four eyewitness accounts from all of the scriptures, and they're all a little bit different. I don't want you to think of them as contradictory. They're not contradictory. They actually give us a entire picture, a whole picture of what happened on that day. It's we have four writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and each one has a different perception of what happened. It's kind of like if there was an accident on the corner of 5th and Lincoln, and one of you was standing on the north side and one of you was standing on the south side, you would each give an exact description of what happened. It would be accurate, but they would both be very different because you saw something quite different. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. We're going to go through the Matthew account, but we're going to add in the other Gospels. So starting with Matthew 21, verses 1 and 2. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me." We start out by Jesus telling two of his disciples to go to the village opposite of them and bring a donkey and a colt. Well, my mind maybe works different than other. What village is opposite of them? I mean, we're at Bethphage, they say, but then he says, go to the village opposite them. And maybe it doesn't matter where Jesus sent the disciples. Maybe it doesn't. But if you're wondering why, let's look it into a little bit deeper. Luke 19, verses 29 through 30. When he approached Bethphage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, As you enter, you will find a colt tied there under which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. So now we have a different story, don't we? Send two disciples to the town ahead of you, and there you'll find a colt. So it doesn't really matter which town it is. I'm going to tell you which town it was. But if you're wondering, why would Scripture be different like this? Well, it's simply there were four different people telling the same story from their perspective. If you have a map and you looked at the map, and if you saw and if you knew anything about what Jesus' ministry was, you would know that Jesus spent a lot of time in Bethany. And Bethany was really close to Bethphage, and Bethphage was really close to Jerusalem. So we have this in the back of our head that Jesus was probably at Bethany when he started out his journey. And he started out, and then he told two disciples to go to the village that is ahead of him or across from them, which was Bethphage. Bethany comes first, and then Bethphage comes next. And he's on his way to Jerusalem. We already know that. I'm going to take a little detour here. If you have your Bible, still continue to follow along if you can. We're going to look at John chapter 11, verses 38 through 46. So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench." That means it would be smelly. For he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe that you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around me, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." I love that. He's in the rocky area, and there's a tomb right there, and he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And then what happens next? The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, walking like this, probably. And his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews came to Mary and saw what had been done, and they believed in him. But some, listen to this, but some went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. I would call them the tattletales. Do you know what Jesus did now? I can't believe it. He raised Lazarus from the dead. So disgusting. You have to understand here that this is exactly 1 week before Palm Sunday. Did you know that? 1 week before Palm Sunday. Let's continue in that text, John 11, verses 47 through 50. Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, "What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. And if we let him go on like this, all the men will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, listen to this, who was the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people than for the whole nation to perish." What are they saying here? They're looking for a reason to kill Jesus. Don't get on his case, because it's better that he die instead of the whole nation be disrupted. Let's go on to John 12, 9 through 11. The large crowd of Jews learned that he was there. And they came, not for Jesus' sake, but only, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus. This is 6 days after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. 6 days after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. That they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. And then John goes right in to Jesus coming into Jerusalem in verses 12 to 13. On the next day, on the very next day, a large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." So what's the events here? We have Lazarus has passed away, and it was 4 days. Jesus knew about it, but he delayed because he wanted the power of God to be displayed to the people. So John tells us, Jesus comes, he raises Lazarus from the dead. 6 more days come, and Jesus makes a trip from Bethany, and when the people hear about it, they're excited to come and see Lazarus, because Lazarus was raised from the dead, kind of like an Odyssey show. Let's go see that guy that was raised from the dead, see if he's still ticking. So Jesus sends some disciples into Bethphage. 1 week before Lazarus was raised from the dead, and now they're going to make him king. They're going to make him king because the Romans are their rulers, and they're looking for a king to take over. So Jesus is at Bethany, and he's walking toward Bethphage, and he sends two of his disciples to go get a donkey and a colt. And a colt. Why? Can anybody help me? Why would he send two of his disciples? To fulfill prophecy. What did he say over here? Let's read it. Matthew 21, the next 3 verses. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them," and immediately he will send them. Look at this. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, "Behold, your king is coming, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Why would Jesus want to ride on a donkey? Or a colt? You'd think it'd be a white stallion or something. Something great and majestic. Wouldn't you? Tradition was that if you were presenting a king, he would be on a donkey. Zechariah 9:9 is where that text came out of. I'm going to read the whole thing. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, and he is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a donkey," fulfilling prophecy. The people were, of course, looking for a political king, but even though they aren't getting a political king, they are getting a king. They are getting a king. Matthew 21, verses 6 through 9. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them. And when he sat on the coats, most of the crowd spread their coats on the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds going ahead of him, and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" What does Jesus want of us? In 2016, Jesus wants to be the king of your life. Have you made him Lord? Do you go to him whenever you have a decision to make? Do you spend regular time with him, your king? That's what he wants. Will you let him in today? And then, on this day, you will be able to shout, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." I love, in closing today, what John 12, 17 through 19 says. "So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb, raised him from the dead, continued to testify about him." The people who saw what happened that day, they continued to what? Tell the story. They continued to tell people about Jesus and all the wonderful things he has done. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? "For this reason also, people went and met him because they had heard that he had performed this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, 'You see that you are not doing any good? Look, the world has gone after him.'" This Christian thing, the world doesn't understand. But we are to go and proclaim the good news. Maybe the question we ought to ask today is, what has God done in your life? The people wanted to go see Jesus because of what they did, what Jesus did to Lazarus. What a powerful thing. But what has he done in your life? It's just as amazing. Taking a crippled old sinner. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. A crippled, broken down sinner. Made me whole. He made me whole. And one day the king is coming back, and every nation on earth is going to stand before him in judgment day. You're going to want to know him by then, this Jesus who is in the business of healing people. He conquered death. We're going to find out about that in 1 week, by the way. He conquered death. Put your trust in him today and worship him. Amen. If I can just take two more minutes here. What happened at the Passover? Back when the Israelites were being rescued out of Egypt, God told the Israelites to kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. And if the blood was on the doorpost, the angel of death would pass over that house. That's why they call it Passover. Jesus became the Lamb of God. Friday, right after the Last Supper, Jesus was crucified, coming up this Friday. And then Easter, he gets raised from the dead. Lord, we thank you for this time of worship and praise and for reminding us why you came. What a powerful message. Amen.